Imagine you're driving a car you've owned for, like, years. You know its handling, its quirks, exactly how it responds when you press the gas.
Right, you're totally comfortable in it.
Exactly. But suddenly, while you're just cruising down the highway, the steering wheel completely locks up. The GPS starts dictating, a completely different destination.
That sounds terrifying, honestly.
Right. And without you even noticing, the standard engine under the hood has been quietly swapped out for this massive, hyper-advanced nuclear reactor.
Wow.
Yeah. And you didn't ask for any of these upgrades. You have zero control over them, and the doors are locked.
Yeah, you're no longer the driver in that scenario. You're just cargo at that point. You're just along for the ride.
And that feeling, that exact feeling of losing control to these infinitely powerful machines under the hood, that is the defining theme of the tech world right now. So welcome to the deep dive.
Glad to be here for this one. It's a big one.
It really is. Today, we are unpacking the May 27th, 2026 edition of the Tech and Morning Tech Newsletter. And for you listening, our goal today is to connect the dots on a stack of six interconnected stories from this report.
Yeah, because on the surface, they might seem totally disconnected, but they actually prove that the entire technology industry is sitting at this massive, historic inflection point.
Exactly. We're going to explore how AI is causing a literal trillion-dollar hardware revolution, sparking these massive user rebellions and causing some pretty hypocritical controversies over at the Vatican.
Not to mention forcing Apple and Meta to completely rethink the security of the actual phone in your pocket. Everything is just shifting at once.
It is. Okay, let's unpack this, starting with the invisible engine of AI.
Yeah.
Because the sheer scale of the memory chip revolution right now is just, it's staggering.
It's unprecedented. I mean, look at Tuesday, May 26th.
Right. Micron Technology reached a $1 trillion market cap for the first time in its 47-year history. Their stock surged like 19% in a single day to hit a peak of $891.
And they're definitely not alone in this surge. SK Hynix is up, what, 250% year to date?
Yeah, 250. And Samsung crossed the $1 trillion mark, too. They're up 149%. It's all driven by this insatiable demand for HBM, that's high bandwidth memory and DRAM chips for AI data centers.
Right, which caused prices to basically double in the first quarter of 2026 alone. UBS even tripled Micron's price target to $1,625.
It's just wild numbers. But, you know, everyone focuses on the processor GPUs, right?
Yeah.
Like NVIDIA. We treat them like the massive engine of an AI sports car.
That's the flashy part.
Yeah. Right. But I like to think of memory chips as the fuel lines. It doesn't matter how big your engine is, if the fuel lines can't deliver the data fast enough, the car goes nowhere.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, that analogy is perfect because that is the exact architectural bottleneck the industry is hitting right now. Large language models process billions of parameters.
Right.
And you can think of those parameters as like the artificial synapses of the AI's brain. To fire those synapses, they need massive amounts of data delivered instantly.
But for years, memory was just treated as a basic commodity, wasn't
exactly. it? Exactly. A chip was just a chip. Server buyers just looked for the cheapest price. But HBM physically stacks memory chips on top of each other to dramatically widen the highway for that data to travel to the GPU.
So memory has shifted from a cheap commodity to this critical strategic choke point. But, I mean, come on. With 200 to 250% growth in 5 months, isn't this the exact definition of a bubble?
Well, you really have to separate the structural shift of the technology from the historical patterns of the market. On the positive side, the demand for AI hardware is totally real. Tech giants are locking in long-term contracts at high prices just to guarantee supply.
Because they literally cannot manufacture them fast enough.
Exactly. But on the negative side, semiconductors are notoriously cyclical. It's a boom and bust industry.
All right. What goes up usually crashes hard.
Yeah, and that is the core vulnerability here. If you're an investor listening to this, you need to understand that memory stocks are highly vulnerable. If GPU makers like NVIDIA or AMD announce even a slight drop in demand, memory will be the very first sector to crash.
Wow. Okay, so we see these tech giants spending literal trillions on the physical memory chips needed to build these AI models. But what happens when they take those AI products and just force them onto everyday users who didn't even ask for them?
The great Google exodus.
Here's where it gets really interesting. At Google I.O. 2026, Google announced AI overviews. Basically, they're replacing those traditional blue links we've used forever with AI-generated summaries.
With absolutely no way to opt out.
Right. Zero way to opt out. And the reaction? A massive user exodus straight to the privacy-focused search engine DuckDuckGo.
The numbers on that were wild. DuckDuckGo US installs peaked at up 30.5% on May 25th.
And what surprised me even more was the iOS users. They're typically super conservative with switching default apps, but they saw a massive peak growth of nearly 70%.
Yeah, 69.9%. DuckDuckGo CEO Gabriel Weinberg came out and stated, "Google is force-feeding AI with no way to opt out. People want choice."
And then they immediately launched an AI-free search page. But let me play devil's advocate here for a second.
Sure, go for it.
Isn't getting a summarized answer just faster and better for simple, fact-based questions?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why are iOS users, of all people, revolting over saving a few clicks? We've been skimming recipe blogs for years.
What's fascinating here is that this isn't just about UI design or saving a few clicks. It's about control, transparency, and honestly, the destruction of the open web.
Destruction of the open web. That sounds a little apocalyptic.
Well, think about it. Users are terrified they can no longer verify sources. When you skim a page, you're evaluating the source. You see the URL, you decide if it's reputable. Google is removing your ability to spot AI hallucinations by trapping you in a closed loop.
Because there's no source link to double check?
Right. And on the flip side, websites are terrified of losing all their traffic. If Google summarizes everything, why would anyone click through? The economic incentive for humans to publish information just starts to collapse.
Oh, wow. I hadn't thought about the economic side of it for the creators.
It's huge. And that's why I predict Google will be forced to retreat. I wouldn't be surprised if they add a classic search or an opt-out button by the end of June 2026.
So the major lesson here for any developers or companies listening is basically, never force AI on your users. Always provide an opt-out.
Exactly. You can't force adoption, no matter how good you think the tool is.
Well, this deep-seated fear of losing control to AI and this demand for transparency isn't just a corporate problem. It's actually reached the highest moral authorities in the world.
Though perhaps with a massive dose of irony.
Yeah, a huge dose. So on Sunday, May 25th, Pope Leo IV released this 120-page encyclical called Magnifica Humanitas, which translates to the greatness of humanity.
It's a very serious document.
It's very serious. It strongly warns that AI could make civilization less human, that it could be used for domination, and that it's going to hollow out human work.
A pretty stark warning.
Extremely. But then AI detection tools like GPT-0 and Originality.ai analyzed the text of this 5-chapter document.
And the results were quite revealing.
To say the least, the introduction was likely human. But chapters 2 and 3 were flagged as highly suspicious. And sections of chapter 4 showed a 70 to 100% probability of being AI generated.
And the Vatican still hasn't officially responded to this, right?
Nope. Total silence. So what does this all mean? It's literally like writing a comprehensive, you know, medical book about the dangers of smoking while chain smoking cigarettes throughout the entire writing process. How can anyone take the warning seriously?
This raises an important question about the gravitational pull of AI. It is so undeniably efficient and convenient that even the most traditional institutions, the ones explicitly warning against it, cannot escape using it.
But wait, how do we even know for sure? Are these AI detectors actually accurate?
They're actually pretty sophisticated. They measure statistical properties, mainly something called burstiness and perplexity.
Burstiness.
Yeah. Basically, human writing is bursty. We use short, punchy sentences and then long, winding, complex ones. AI writes very uniformly. It's highly predictable.
Ah, and a Vatican encyclical is naturally rigid and formalized anyway.
Exactly. It uses predictable theological phrasing, which makes it incredibly easy for an AI to mimic and easy for a detector to flag.
So a clerk probably just used it to edit or translate something.
Highly likely. And listen, the issue isn't necessarily using AI to edit or draft. That's common practice everywhere now. The issue is the utter lack of transparency.
Right, the hypocrisy of it.
Exactly. If you preach about the dangers of a technology, failing to disclose your own use of it just destroys your credibility.
It really does. Well, speaking of the irresistible convenience of AI pulling us in, big tech is now baking these AI capabilities directly into the most private, everyday communication tools we use.
Bringing those exact same questions of trust right to the phone in your pocket.
Exactly. Let's look at the new WhatsApp iOS beta. This is version 26.20.20.2.72.
This one is going to change how a lot of people work.
Oh, totally. It allows iPhone users to share documents like PDFs, Excel files, Word docs, even Python code, up to 10 megabytes directly with Meta AI right inside the chat.
So no more copy-pasting walls of text.
None. You just send the file, and Meta AI can summarize a dense scientific paper or, you know, find the highest sales month in a spreadsheet or even debug your code.
And Meta claims these documents are not used to train their AI models.
Right, they claim that.
Yeah.
And I get the excitement. The practical applications here are amazing. Think about how much time this saves a student or a researcher.
It's frictionless. The AI is just another contact in your phone.
But hold on, I have to push back here. Meta doesn't exactly have a spotless track record with data privacy. I mean, we've all seen the headlines over the years.
Oh, absolutely.
Should you really be uploading your tax returns or your company's proprietary code to a Meta chatbot just to save 5 minutes?
I strongly advise against that. You are totally right to be skeptical. I think anyone listening needs to adopt a hybrid approach to their digital life right now.
What does that hybrid approach look like in practice?
It's about compartmentalization. Use this highly convenient WhatsApp feature for public documents, research papers, educational materials, public data. Go for it. Let the AI save you time.
But keep the personal stuff out.
Absolutely. Keep medical records, work contracts, and banking info offline. Convenience should never supersede personal security, because even if Meta says they aren't training on it today, terms of service change, data breaches happen.
Once it leaves your phone, you lose control of it.
Exactly.
Well, since we are talking about fiercely protecting the sensitive personal and financial data stored on our iPhones, let's pivot to physical security. Because Apple is taking physical device security to a revolutionary new level to ensure thieves can't access your data either.
This is a huge deal, especially for people living in major cities.
Yeah, device snatching is out of control. Thieves on bicycles or motorcycles will ride by and just snatch an unlocked phone right out of someone's hands.
And if the phone is unlocked, they have your whole life.
Everything. Your banking, your emails, your passwords. So Apple is testing an anti-snatch feature in the iOS 26.5 beta, which is expected around June or July 2026.
How exactly does it work?
If the iPhone detects it's been snatched out of your hands, it automatically locks itself, and it triggers stolen device protection. That means you can't just type in a passcode to get in. It requires Face ID or Touch ID to change Apple ID passwords or access cards.
Basically turning the phone into an electronic brick.
Exactly.
Yeah.
An absolute brick. Oh, and I should briefly mention, they also released the new AirTag 2 firmware with a 50% louder speaker and better anti-stalking alerts. They're really locking down the physical ecosystem.
They have to. The threats are getting too sophisticated.
But looking at this anti-snatch feature, I love the electronic brick concept. But what if I'm just sprinting to catch a bus?
Right. Running down the street holding your phone.
Yeah. Holding my unlocked phone. Maybe my Apple Watch has a dead battery, so it's not connected. Is my phone going to freak out and just lock me out of my own life?
That's a very practical concern, but Apple engineered this with multi-sensor synergy. It's not just one single trigger that locks the phone.
Oh, so it's looking for a specific pattern.
Precisely. It uses the accelerometer to detect sudden, unnatural speed, but then it cross-references that. Is the phone moving rapidly away from your Apple Watch? Has it suddenly dropped off a familiar Wi-Fi network, like your home or office?
Oh, I see.
And it also looks for sudden GPS changes, indicating you're moving to a high-risk area. It requires all of these distinct signals happening together to trigger the lockdown.
Okay, so a jogger is safe. The phone knows the context.
Right. And you know, this connects back to the core theme we've been talking about today. Whether it's Apple giving you a louder AirTag to prevent stalking or turning a stolen iPhone into a brick, technology is currently in an arms race.
An arms race with itself, almost.
Exactly. The digital world is constantly eroding our privacy and safety, and these companies are desperately trying to build tools to give you back some of that control and peace of mind.
That is such a fascinating way to frame it. And it really brings everything together. I mean, we've covered a lot of ground today.
We really have.
We've seen how the invisible $1 trillion memory chip market is literally physically powering an AI revolution. We saw how users are demanding choice and fleeing Google to get it.
And how even the Pope is getting caught up in AI's irresistible convenience.
Right, the hypocrisy of convenience. And finally, how companies are simultaneously trying to inject AI into our private documents while aggressively locking down our physical devices from thieves.
It's a lot to process.
Yeah.
But, you know, looking at all this, I want to leave you, the listener, with a brand new concept to ponder today. Something that builds on everything we just discussed.
Oh, I love these. What do you have for us?
Well, we've seen today how people will actively rebel when they can't opt out of AI, right? the Google situation.
Right, the mass exodus.
And we've seen how even the Vatican secretly relies on its convenience. But as AI becomes as fundamental to our digital infrastructure as electricity, or, you know, as fundamental as those memory chips, we have to ask a really difficult question.
Okay.
Will the opt-out button eventually become a luxury?
Wait, really? A luxury?
Think about it. Will a purely human AI-free digital experience soon become something only the very wealthy can afford, while the rest of us are just forced to navigate this inescapable AI-generated reality?
Wow. An AI-free internet is a premium status symbol. That is a heavy thought, but honestly, looking at the trends, it makes total sense.
That's where the economics are pointing.
Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive today. We really hope this conversation encourages you to question your own tech habits, to guard your data, and to keep an eye out for those opt-out buttons while they're still free. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.